on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on
it. Now with special guest Russ Dorsey, the Major League Baseball insider and reporter for not just Yahoo, but Apple TV and Friday Night Baseball. Hi, Russ. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, friends. How are we doing?
You ready?
Always.
I like it.
He says he's ready.
Five on it. Number one.
How much of the Bears' offense have we actually seen so far?
I'm going to go so far as to say 7%. I think you can kind of gauge some formations, and I feel like once we heard Ben Johnson say that this was previously the Lions playbook when it came to preseason game plan, then we've seen some stuff, but you still can't really use it all. And I believed him when he made it sound like this is not what you're really going to see. However, I think we still saw some structural formation type things like tight wings, for example. We saw a little bit of a use in the last game of like trips right or trips left, depending. So some takeaways, but when it comes to what you really want to see, like the misdirection, for example, a little old school there with the misdirection and Tyson Bagent on a play or two. So for me, it was some 7, maybe 10% max, but I want to say it's a low percent.
7 to 10%. I like that. I like that. My answer is more simple than that. Enough. We've seen enough of it. Don't give it away. Don't spoil. It's like when you watch a trailer to a movie and then you go see the movie. It's like, that could have been the movie. No. Give me just a little bit.
A little taste.
Just a little taste. An idea of what the movie is about.
A trailer.
Enough to make me want to go see the movie. I don't need the plot. I don't need the specifics. All I need to know is who's in the movie and what's the general, what is this about?
Well, here's the thing, though, is don't you give credit to the trailer editor, though, once you realize the best parts of the movie were in the trailer?
I get upset when that happens. I get there's a movie on my mind right now. Captain America, Brave New World. You gave me the whole movie in the trailer. I could have just stayed home. And that made me very upset. And so Ben Johnson has given us enough. This is not his first rodeo. We definitely know vanilla as defenses are, that's not going to be an issue. But offensively, let that man cook and let him keep all the stuff in the kitchen, on the heating pads all around. And when it's time to eat, we'll eat. Guess what? Monday night, finally time to eat.
Yeah, I think 5%, because it's a small percentage, because I think when I think of offensive-minded head coaches, play callers, those dudes have plays upon plays upon plays. And so it's the shell of what they will likely be running for the next 17 weeks, but not anything where the Vikings can say, they're going to run this formation and this formation and this formation. We have it all figured out. No, I think when we get to Monday night, it will look vastly different than what we've seen.
You would say it was 5%.
Yes.
Terrible. I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
I've been gone. I'm back now. Whether or not you like it.
Five on it. Number two.
Are the Packers Super Bowl contenders now with Michael Parsons?
Don't do that to him. Put some respect on his name. You want him to hear this up there in Green Bay, kind of how he's next door to us, metaphorically football speaking? You want that man to get more motivation to see the Bears? You think he needs it?
Definitely not.
Oh, Michael Parsons. I wish it were Michael Parsons and not Micah Parsons. Are they Super Bowl contenders? I think that their defense is undoubtedly now probably a top five defense based on what we knew about it before. Man, you can tell yourself that perhaps their run defense took a hit. You can try to convince yourselves of that. I think they're going to turn the ball over even more now. And when I say that, I mean force them. I think you had better have your game plan together when you try to see this team. And I think you're going to find out real quick. Micah Parsons' lumbar injury doesn't concern me yet. When it becomes an issue and he's missing real time, then maybe. They made a four-year commitment to that man. Are they a Super Bowl contender, though? I don't know, because you still got a healthy Lions team that you're dealing with in your own division. You know, like the Eagles are still existing. The Rams put up a pretty good fight in the playoffs. I don't know that they're Super Bowl contenders necessarily.
A team that created 31 turnovers, which was just off of the Minnesota Vikings lead of 33 takeaways a year ago. Adds Micah Parsons. I'm sorry. They're definitely a Super Bowl contender. A lot of that depends on the quarterback play and the matchups and all that, but they are in the conversation for me, especially because they play in the NFC, not the AFC.
I take what you say with a grain of salt, because you also said the Steelers are Super Bowl contenders. When I think about the Packers, it has to do less with them and more with everybody else, to Layla's point. The Eagles are still there. The Commanders are still there. There's no evidence right now to say they're better than Minnesota or the Lions. Tampa's still pretty good. The Rams are still pretty good. And so that's 6 to 7 teams that we don't know that they're better than. So we have to put them in that 6, 7, even 8 slot. I don't think you're a Super Bowl contender if you're the 8th best team in the conference.
I think it's more open than you think. And the tiers, I think they're on that top tier now in the NFC.
I need evidence.
You know who's not a Super Bowl contender anytime soon, ever, forever, amen? The team who traded Micah Parsons.
But that run defense, though, they're going to be pretty good now.
Yeah.
At least that's what I hear.
If only they could, you know, rush the passer or pass the ball with more efficacy.
A lot of shootouts.
Oh, man.
Michael Parsons wasn't the Michael Jordan, Johnny Kilroy that it is, but both those guys doing work.
I just am amazed at all the people that I found who listen to our show. Not that part. We are happy about that, too. But who have faith in Jerry Jones. Friends, why?
Who?
I'm telling you, there's so many people asking, like, what did Jerry know? And I get it. That's a logical question to ask. But I need you to zoom out here. I need you to think about how I joke he'd draft Kenny Chesney if it meant he could, because he knew he'd sell at the stadium every time. You know?
Sounds like a team in town. It
sounds like an owner who knows how to step that valuation.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
Can we also just play the bite of Jerry saying the word stadium? Because that's why I always say stadium. Like, that's hard to find, but like, you'll find it eventually. Also, how about some news? We got a little breaking news from Adam Johns, our friend of the Adams podcast. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Jalen Johnson said he was dealing with a groin injury, and that's what kept him out of camp.
Those can be tricky, those groin injuries.
Good to know. Oh, and we have more info from Mark Grody. How about this? He just texted and says, I'm going to send you guys that Jalen Johnson audio. Really good, as you would expect. Shake and bake, baby.
Can I ask something?
After 5 on it, you can, but we got to get through these 5 questions.
Right. Wait, I'm now.
Nope.
Listen.
I got to respect the clock, Layla.
It ain't all right. 4 on it.
It's 12:12. 5 on it continues with Russ Dorsey here and Raheem and Harris.
5 on it.
Number 3.
Switching to baseball. What exactly are the Cubs going to do with Carlos Santana?
That's what I asked when they made this acquisition, because I already know that you've got Justin Turner as part of your bench. I know that you've decided that you want to do something different with Owen Casey as part of your plan, which also concerns me, because I wanted him to stay. I wanted it to be a for real, we're bringing you up, Big Red. The onus is on you. Go get him. And then they go to the playoffs, and the 12-year-old with the red hair helps them and hits a bunch of clutch hits and movie. That's what I wanted. But I also respect the heck out of Carlos Santana. He's got a threat for power. I still appreciate his resume, especially as a Sox observer for many years. So I'm assuming it's use him more than Justin Turner.
I think it gives them much more flexibility when you talk about pinch hitting and end of game situations. A guy that not only can do what you just said, but also because he's a switch hitter, now that lefty righty thing doesn't become as incumbent as it was. Like, okay, Michael Bush, now Justin Turner, now we've burned. Oh, wait, no, you still have Carlos Santana, who can also go out there and play a gold glove level of first base if you put him in. So I like the flexibility this adds. And Owen Casey notwithstanding, we'll talk about that later. I just think it adds another veteran bat. And this time you need the guys who have been there, done that. He fills that as a guy who has had a long and storied decade plus career as a proven major league hitter.
It's a guy who, as a switch hitter, doesn't really have that much difference from either side of the plate. He's been a better right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching, above 800 in his career. Also really solid defensively over at first base. I believe he was the oldest player to ever win a gold glove at first base. And so that's always helpful. A guy that's played in the postseason before. It's just add a veteran, you know, clubhouse presence at this time of year, invaluable.
Yeah, I like him too. Now that he's not facing the White
Sox. I don't know if he's
going
to be good, but I can see why you try to do it.
Do you remember when he was on deck and the Cubs ended up closing out the game one batter before him? And I thought to myself, ugh. Carlos Santana was on deck. I still have that kind of respect for him.
We'll see. Five
on it. Number four.
The Chicago White Sox got their 50th win of the season yesterday. Can we say this has been a good season for the Sox?
No. It has not been a good season. It has been a better season for the White Sox. But hey, look at what we're comparing it to. We're comparing it to the most losses
in the history of Major League Baseball.
Worst season in the history of baseball.
All time. So yes, it has been a
better
season.
Lucas Giolito. No, I'm just kidding.
There are reasons, Lucas Giolito notwithstanding, why the future looks brighter than it did 365 days ago. But at the same time, there is still tons of work that needs to be done. Tons of guys that you need to see up out of their minor league system and producing, specifically on the pitching side, by the way, which I thought was going to be the thing you were going to have more optimism about at this point this season. It has not been the case. I think they've got a bunch of guys, not that all of them will be a part of their future for the next 5 to 10 years, but they've got a few guys that they can pick from and say, if two or three of these guys pan out, they decide to actually spend some Ishbia money or whoever's money, they could be all right.
Yeah, I you can't call a season where you lose 100 games a good season.
That's not guaranteed.
Well, it's trending in that direction. Either way, that's not good. But there's been lots of growth. Growth is good as a concept. You've seen development. You've seen players that you wanted to see good things out of, i.e. Colson Montgomery. You've seen him do the things that made him a tantalizing prospect, but there's still more work to be done. 2026, you need to see even more growth, right? You don't want to be near 100 losses as a franchise. So have they done some things right? Yes. Have they grown? Yes. Have they developed? Yes. Is this a good season? No. Because as a franchise, as an organization, you should always hold yourself to a much higher standard.
I'm going to say yes. It is a good season for them. And unfortunately, we do have to hold them to their standards.
No.
Yeah. In this case, yeah, that's a 20-game improvement. 21 if they lose a flat 100 games. 21-game improvement. And yeah, they had the worst season ever. But when I consider how I feel about who is evaluating what now as opposed to last year, and I'm not saying Chris Getz necessarily, I'm saying hiring Will Venable as the manager, making decisions that were somewhat bold like they did with Colson Montgomery, sending him to Arizona to get right. You know, a lot of teams want to, I wouldn't say win minor league championships when they have that type of major league record, but you know the kinds that want to pound their chest, rest a little bit about their farm system. And I think there are other organizations who would have kept him there, you know, in one of the minor league spots, either Double A or Triple A, to work his way out of it. So I thought that was somewhat of a bold decision. Do I love the fact that they had to option their opening day starter? No. But when I consider how this could have looked, given who was in charge of making decisions and what some of the other outcomes could have been, I think that it's a good season.
I just want you to hold the White Sox to your Bears standards, because the GM's still there and they were bad, just like the Bears were bad last year. I need the standard to be higher.
The difference is the expectation. Like, I've held the White Sox to those standards, and it was in 2021 when I thought they hired the wrong manager, and I got hell for it then. But you know what? The point was, at that time, you had a playoff team that you let a manager affect the outcome. So different standards for different times of what they're doing. This is investment mode, and I feel like they've made some decent investments.
Five on it. Number five.
Will Bill Belichick make it through a season at North Carolina?
Yes, and you know why? Because North Carolina is a public university, and they publish their contracts. 5 years, $50 million contract. 3 years guaranteed, $10 million annually. If you do that buyout math, that's a lot of money the state of North Carolina has to pay. Is it Jimbo Fisher money? No. But you know what? Texas billionaires are doing a lot better work for the states of America paying football coaches and they are making other decisions. So in this case, I don't think North Carolina has that kind of cash. I don't think that they can afford to buy out those dollars.
We're about to get one of the answers to one of the greatest questions ever, which is, can you teach an old dog new tricks? And why I say that is because I've seen Bill Belichick struggle when he lands with an organization.
Six and ten. Can you also teach new tricks, old dogs?
Well, that too. But Cleveland Browns back in 1991, 6-10. New England Patriots in 2000, year one, 5-11. The next year, Super Bowl champion. If Bill Belichick really is Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, as I've been told by so many people from my friends who live in the Northeast portion of this country, then he'll be able to find a way to have them as ACC contenders at the least next season. This year, it's a learning experience for everyone involved. Maybe next year he'll do a better job with not only recruiting, but also that NIL portal and that NIL money. Transfer it out, get the guys you need, go to work, Bill Belichick. But we're going to find out in 2 years. I think he'll make it through this year, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Bill gets fired or decides to leave, because you wouldn't fire a Bill Belichick, and Bill, with all he's accomplished, wouldn't walk away after 1 year. I am fascinated by the entire thing, because college football, especially in this day and age, is not the NFL. And so will Bill get out on the recruiting trail, right? Like, that's something you have to do as a college football coach if you want to be in that conversation for the ACC championship or getting the college football playoff. That might be a little too much in terms of what we're talking about here. But yeah, I don't know where this goes. I don't know how this ends up, but I do think we see Bill there for at least 2 years.
Yeah, I think so too. He's a mission critical type of guy. He's not going to, I don't think he walks away like that, given who he is as a coach. I think that's not how you want to be remembered for how you left it all. You know, that's where I sit with it too.
Jordan's not walking away. I'm sure of that.
Fair. I thought you meant Michael Jordan for a second.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I realized you meant Jordan Hudson.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one I needed some clarification.
My
on.
Bad.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan probably left before the game ended, just like so many fans.
Oh, man.
Woo.
He was there last night.
We have more to talk about with Russ Dorsey next here on Raheem Ann Harris on 670 The Score. Let's get into a little more of the baseball talk. Marshall, of course, made a bold claim when it came to the division while we were trying to talk about the Cubs. I want to get into a little bit of the Cubs and Braves game with you from yesterday. I think there's a lot of issues there that we can discuss that are good. So we'll do all of that next. More with Russ Dorsey here on Raheem Ann Harris on The Score.